The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Gordon Brown to look ahead to the best of Wednesday's action. We've got three contests that we're going to look at Catterick, as well as just having a little chat about Chelmsford City and Newcastle and their pending all-weather track introductions, if you will. We'll get to that in a moment, but first things first, how are you, Mr. Brown?
I'm very well. It's high summer. It's a terrific time of year, isn't it? There's so much sporting stuff going on. Obviously, we focus on the racing here in William Hill Radio, but we've just had the World Cup. The Open's upon us, Commonwealth Games, Ryder Cup still to come, football season not that far off yet. It's good to be alive.
Plenty of
punting opportunities.
And Goodwood just around the corner as well for racing fans. Like I said, we're going to look at three contests at Catterick in just a moment. They're not up to the standard of Glorious Goodwood, I think it's fair to say. But nevertheless, there's winners to be found. But we'll just touch on these two tracks that are going to be having all-weather meetings in 2015. Yeah. Chelmsford City, of course, is resurrected from the ashes of Great Lees.
Mm-hmm.
Newcastle... standing on its own, really, in the north, isn't it, for an all-weather track? Something that has been mooted for a while. As far as I'm concerned, is a great addition to the calendar and will be used pretty well, I think, by Newcastle Racecourse.
A lot of people would say they need an all-weather racecourse in the north, Alec, and a lot of people would say maybe Newcastle's not the place to have it, but I agree with you, we do need one in the north. Someone thought nearer Scotch Corner way, maybe transforming like say Catterick or Sedgefield, but it is going to beat Newcastle, and it's just a shame that they're ripping up a pretty good turf course there. I know that when they have the Northumberland Plate at the Pitman's Derby, that will return to turf because they'll stage it on the hurdles track, but otherwise they're going to have a straight mile floodlet. They're going to have the round course. I presume, just looking into the nuts and bolts of it, because it's, I know the track quite well. I used to be there and used to hardly miss a meeting for at the races. And it's in a nature reserve. And I presume that's the reason that they can't have floodlights in the centre, because there's all sorts of, you know, rare birds and stuff. So I think what they're going to do is, by the sound of it, they'll need to do any races on the round course before it gets dark.
Yeah.
And then the floodlights will come on for the straight mile. So the last five or six races will be floodlit, and it'll be from five furlongs up to a mile.
Yeah.
And then anything over a mile, mile and a quarter, mile and a half, will need to be on the round course before it gets dark. So Newcastle, I can see it working. I mean, it's going to be a Tapeta track, Michael Dickinson formula, all-weather surface, which means I'm told it's Arabic for carpet. I interviewed Michael Dickinson when he laid down a Tapeta surface. I actually officially opened it at James Ewart's yard, cut the ribbon. And to be honest, the surface wouldn't be a worry for me. I actually was doing an interview at the time, leant against the rail, and as the horses went past on that Tapeta surface, you actually couldn't hear them. It was silent. You just had a very sort of soft, sort of, not a thud even. So the surface is going to be Tapeta. They're obviously not going to affect the jumping there. And as I say, it will work. Great Lee's now becoming, of course, Chelmsford City. I actually had a rumour they were coming back late this year. I mean, we knew that it was being taken over. We knew they'd applied for fixtures. Newcastle starting with the all-weather in 2015. We knew Chelmsford City was coming back. I'd heard a rumour that they were going to apply, and it could happen yet, to get a fixture in Christmas Eve this year to start with a real bang, the afternoon of the 24th of December. But I don't know whether that's going to happen or not. So, yeah, Chelmers, that gets a very good vote of confidence from Newmarket trainers, as it was the guys with Great Lees. A lot of them supported. There's nothing wrong with the track. It was the infrastructure and the actual business plan that let them down a wee bit there.
The finances, wasn't it?
Newmarket trainers, I think, still use it for galloping. So that will work as well. So a lot of people say there will be top heavy the fixture list with all weather fixtures, but that maybe just is the way it's going a wee bit. So yeah, I've got mixed feelings about Newcastle, but I'm all for Chelmsford City returning, and whatever way we like to chop it up, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay then. Well, Catrick did not get the all weather vote, if you like, that went to Newcastle, but they've still got a pretty good turf track, and we're going to look at three contests there on Wednesday afternoon. We're going to start with a 3 o'clock. It's a handicap over 5 furlongs. Yeah. 7 runners down to go to post in this one. Some informed types as well. Innocently's been in decent nick. So has John Quinn's Noble Ascent. And John Quinn, a yard in pretty decent form at the minute. Lexington Rose won last time out. And even the ones at the bottom who aren't in the best form could get competitive here on bits and pieces of their old form. Where should we start with this one, Gordy?
Well, Innocently, the horse that you mentioned there, the only thing that would put me off that a wee bit, and as you say, it's been in reasonable form, second at Windsor, solid efforts at Ripon last time, and a moderate run late last season on its final run at Ripon. The David O'Mara sting haven't been in great. By his standards, I think he's gone 11, 12 days without a winner. So that would, you have a look, and that would put me off Innocently, the top weight. Lexington Rose, I've been following that for most of the season because I've been keeping a close eye on the Midland Park runners. I was at Carlisle when it won there on very fast ground last time, recorded a reasonable rating there as well, and came from miles off the pace. So the faster they go, the better it will suit Lexington Rose. And what was the other one you mentioned that's prominent in the betting?
Noble Asset. Yeah,
Noble Asset for John Quinn, being in great form. The Quinn Yard, just been finding one or two too good on its last couple of runs as Noble Asset. After that win, it's just been struggling with the new mark. It was sent off favourite at Musselburgh in May when winning over 5 furlongs. And since then, went up to class 3 at Chester, was maybe a wee bit out of its depth. And then just flattened out a bit at Newcastle last time. Of the three we've mentioned, I would probably have to be on the side of Lexington Rose. But again, it'll need them to go quick here. A very sharp 5 at Catrick.
Okay. You mentioned David O'Meara's form. Without a winner since the 3rd of July.
Well, that's
my birthday.
Yeah,
which was 12 days ago.
And he's, you know, I've had a few runners, I suspect.
He has. Maybe 20, 25.
I mean, that's, by his standards, that's poor, isn't it?
Yeah, so true. Been hitting the frame a fair bit, but that would just temper enthusiasm, wouldn't it, with Innocently? So we'll side with Lexington Rose there. Next up, the 3:30. It's a handicap over almost a mile and a half. Mm-hmm. Again, 7 runners. Not great for each way punters so far, this Catrick card. But a class 5 event. And again, bits and pieces of form. Stout Cortez has looked a winner waiting to happen on some occasions, but is yet to get off the mark. Chivers has got off the mark, but was maybe a little disappointing last time out at Doncaster. It's a tricky race to call, this one.
Chivers looked to me to be on the right sort of progression. It actually finished a respectable 5th last time in a better race. I worried about maybe the ground being soft enough here. That was quite a good race at Doncaster last time, over a mile and a half. Finished 5th. Winning form at Beverley before that on softish ground. So as far as Chivers is concerned, no worries about Tim Easterby being in form or Tony Hamilton. I think he's going the right way, but I think ideally he would need the ground to be a wee bit softer. Coin Broker, again, similar that applies to the earlier runner of David O'Mara, as we talked about, Innocently. I'd just be a little bit worried about the form of the stable. He went up to a mile and a quarter in his latest run, and I didn't think there was a lot of improvement in Coin Broker. That was at Beverley, and stepping up even further now to a mile and a half. So the step up and trip will need to bring about a wee bit of improvement for Coin Broker, and the yard of the form of the yard remains a worry.
Interesting though that Michael Tabor and John Magna have a horse with all due respect, such a lowly level as well.
Yeah, I don't know how long he's been with them, but I mean,
I think throughout.
One of his best runs was one of his early runs on heavy ground at Beverley. Last spring, or this spring, I beg your pardon, first time out over 7, recorded quite a good mark, but as I say, worry about the form of the stable and worry about the ground. I mean, I know there's been rain about, but Catterick's still good to firm and they've been watering as well. Stout Cortez might actually be my choice in the race. I was speaking to Mark Johnson yesterday at Ayr. Joe Fanning rode his 100th winner of the calendar year yesterday. I don't know how many times Joe's done it. He is such a hard working jockey. This is his local track as well, and he's actually been running better than his bear placings have suggested. As you say, he's still a maiden. He's had one spin in the all weather, he's had six on turf. It was a solid enough effort last time at Pontefract and sent off quite a short price favourite at Yarmouth the time before that. That was over a mile six. He's come back to a mile and a half. If I had to have a stab there, given the form of the Johnston yard and given the fact that his horses and his, he always tells me his horses really hit top form when it's rattling top of the ground, fast summer going, I think Stout Cortez, that might go in it. I don't know what sort of tissue you got on that.
3-1 tissue price, obviously could be anything from that, but you'd imagine it'll be going off around that price.
Stout Cortez.
Okay, Stout Cortez the pick there in the 3:30, and the final race that we'll look at is the 4 o'clock. It's a handicap over almost 6 furlongs. We've got 9 runners going to post here, so this race could have a nice each way feel to it. Hard to rule any of them out here. All of them have got a squeak on bits and pieces of form. But there's a few of these arriving in pretty good nick, isn't it, Gordy?
Yeah, I mean, Powerful Presence, they're trying a visor on this horse. He's been just hard to win with this season, Powerful Presence. Again, we're talking about the yard form, the Amara form, and always wins have been over further. But it was a decent run last time over course and distance to finish third. They've reached for the visor here on Powerful Presence. Sam James, the £3 claimer, rides that. We've got Go Far from Alan Bailey. Now, that actually takes my Go Far. He's a shrewd cookie, Alan Bailey, based in Newmarket these days. I've seen him come as far north as Ayr and have a winner as well. I know we're talking about almost a career best, but he's got his ideal conditions here. Quick ground, a mile, 6 furlongs, which I'm looking at this, it's 5 furlongs plus, but it's actually 6 furlongs. It's only a few yards short of 6 furlongs. And he ran an absolute cracker on his last couple of starts at Newmarket, 1/5. And 1/6. Now, the handicapper hasn't given them much room for manoeuvre here, but I think if I had to say a horse that would be in the first three, it would be Go Far. And Thatcherite, a winner last time. Tony Coyle, very shrewd trainer, Tony Coyle, Moulton based. And Thatcherite won really well at Beverley last time, came with a late rattle to win. It hasn't gone up that much as a result of that, just 11 days ago. Before that, he showed signs of coming to form at Newcastle at the Big Plate Festival, over 6 furlongs. Goes on the ground, operates at this type of trip, coming in form as well. I think you find a lot of these sprinters, once they hit form, they seem to hold form. It's peaks and troughs. Once they're out of form, forget them. Once they hit form, follow them. So torn here between Thatcherite and Go Far. I could see Go Far definitely being in the money. Thatcherite, because of the win last time, I think I'll just go for Thatcherite. Tony Coyle and Barry McHugh.
Okay, Thatcherite in the 4 o'clock. Can you spin us through your three picks at Catterick on Wednesday?
Race card order, 3 o'clock, going for Lexington Rose to follow up that recent success at Carlisle. Hopefully the pace will be strong. Stout Cortez in the 3:30 for banging form Mark Johnson, and recent Centurion yet again Joe Fanning. And in the 4 o'clock, promised to be a good race. This is the feature race at Catterick. It's a 10 grass sprint handicap. Thatcherite just to pip Go Far.
Okay, great stuff, Cody. You'll hear all the action live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. on Wednesday. Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Stephen Powell, your studio team. Thanks for your time, Gordon, and enjoy all of Wednesday's action.
No problem.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.